This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
You're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark. According to data collected by the World Bank Group, the Malaysian plastics manufacturing industry contributed $7.23 billion to the national economy in 2018. But the mismanagement of plastic waste, both from local and imported sources, is causing significant economic and environmental costs. So what kind of measures need to be put in place to make the use of plastic more sustainable and recycling initiatives more effective? In conjunction with World Environment Day, we're going to be tackling this subject with our panel of experts. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show today Cici Chia, Vice President of the Malaysian Plastics Manufacturers Association, and Wong Pu Yi of the Centre to Combat Cronyism and Corruption. She's also author of the report, Malaysia is Not a Garbage Dump. Thank you very much to the both of you for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Hi, thank you for having us.
So my first question, I suppose, is in practice, what are your thoughts on whether or not recycling actually reduces plastic pollution, or ultimately, is it more trouble than it's worth how it's being implemented right now?
Well, I mean, plastic recycling is definitely a very important sector and playing a very important role in the Malaysian society. Plastic recycling, meaning we would, treat and process those materials that is plastic waste that is generated by the Malaysian plastic industry, as well as the, you know, from the household, from commercial sectors like office buildings and all this. So is closing the environmental loop. Without the plastic recycling industry, these plastic materials mm-hmm. would have to be all dumped in the landfill, or more plastic waste would be in the environment. For information, I mean, the local plastic recycling industry process several hundred tons of plastic waste generated within Malaysia, and that is a small percentage of the plastic waste that we generate. In order to have the scale to operate, we had to also then resort to import, you know, clean plastic recyclable materials because of the shortage of local materials. The collections currently are all mostly basing on the informal sectors, the garangguni, the waste collectors, scavenging. So that is a pity for a country like Malaysia, which have achieved a lot of advancement economically.
So you touched on plastic waste imports there, Cici, and that is, of course, a big subject over the past couple of years. Pui, could you perhaps help us understand, you know, the legal frameworks governing the import and export of plastic waste? I know you've done some research into the subject.
We have to distinguish between whether we're talking about recycling of domestic waste in Malaysia or recycling of imported waste in Malaysia. Are we talking about the global trade? If we're talking about the global trade, we know that it's a broken system. Greenpeace Malaysia released a report in 2018 to show how bad it was. People, recycling cannot be the answer because of governance issues. People in the West are diligently separating their rubbish, and all their rubbish gets shipped to developing countries for disposal, which defeats the purpose. Many types of plastics cannot be recycled precisely because the materials used contain a lot of different layers and very costly. And thirdly, our laws are very good. Problem lies in implementation and also, very importantly, enforcement. I think in 2016, they said that, oh, if you don't separate your rubbish by a certain date, we will start fining people. Until now, 5 years later, there are still no fines.
Yeah. Can I just address some of the points that Pui has raised up? The global trading of plastic scraps represent a very small amount of plastic waste that is being generated globally. In the West, they generate lots of plastic scraps, and they have very good waste management system where in certain countries, as much as 80 to 90% are being processed. A few years ago, when China banned the imports of plastic scraps, many of the Chinese company come to Malaysia, set up shop, and they do it very haphazardly, basically illegal recycling. And they are importing very dirty scraps. Now, these kind of scraps are not supposed to be exported. So I would say that these are leakages in the Western waste management system. And of course, there are problems within our system. I think our enforcement of the law is not good enough. But I would like to say that since the more stringent enforcement by the local authorities, by the government agencies such as DOE, JPSPN, SWCOP, and the police over the past few years, I think the number of illegal operators has drastically reduced. Okay. But I think just to round up on this point is that there are still many local Malaysian recyclers, very small recyclers, that have been operating for many years without fully complying with all the rules and regulations. I think the government should help them to legalize so that they can conform and comply to all the rules and regulations.
So you mentioned a couple of bodies there, CC, the DOE, SW Corp, the police. And this is, from what I understand, it's a very complicated regulatory landscape. So when it comes to plugging these leakages, does the responsibility fall on one particular government body, or is it spread out and kind of overlapping with multiple ones?
We also need to consider which parts of the value chain we're talking about. Are we talking about the approvals at the ports, whether when they're coming in, are we talking about the factories? So when the plastic waste first came in, it was a big headache. Nobody knew what to do. And finally, it fell down to the customs, JPSPN, which is the solid waste department, and also the Department of Environment. And even after they sat down and worked things out, there were still a lot of blur areas. For example, if you come across a factory, which I recently did only in April, a factory with no approved permit appears to be importing plastic waste because the plastic waste don't look local. And do we report it to the Department of Environment or do we report it to JPSPN? But they don't have an approved permit, so they can't fall under JPSPN. You could report it to the Department of Environment, but I tried to report before, not here, but somewhere up north. The Department of Environment head told me that, it's just people's raw materials. There's no sort of pollution. So maybe DOE is not the correct body. Yeah.
So then what are your views on the policy responses to this issue of illegal plastic waste? Do you think that they've been effective thus far?
The government did come up with clearer criteria for the import and of waste as well as the processing of plastic waste. But I believe that there could have been better engagement with local communities affected by the whole issue, because up until today, the people in Sungai Petani are still complaining and sharing photos of smog covering their area. Someone is burning something, but nobody knows what. If you visit all the sites, the previous sites, there's a lot of leftover plastic scrap. The clean up, the efforts to rehabilitate the land, the efforts to engage the local communities and find out properly how they were impacted, I feel those could have been done better.
And so I'm going to throw this back to you, Cece, because I'm curious then what kind of a role the MPMA, the MPRA, takes in also overseeing the factories and the plastic manufacturers here in the country to ensure that this situations like this don't occur.
We want to ultimately create a system with the government to staff the illegal operators of materials. If you are illegal, you don't comply, you don't have AP, you have no chance to import. And of course, the association encourages our members to those small recyclers to legalize. So we want the government to help them to legalize so that they comply.
I agree with Mr. Chia that MPRA and PMA is doing good work engaging with the government. It's a bad legacy issue, the fact that law evasion is so rampant in Malaysia. The Selangor government, for the past 10 years plus, they have been trying to have this process pemutihan, trying to convince the factories to legalize. Sometimes a complete regulatory framework might also work against us because it might be so complex that the small players don't understand and decided, never mind lah, I just pay the enforcement officer whenever he comes to visit. So there's a difficult balance.
I've been speaking with C.C. Chia, Vice President of the Malaysian Plastic Manufacturers Association, and Wong Pui Yi, researcher at the Centre to Combat Cronyism and Corruption, author of the report, Malaysia is Not a Garbage Dump. Up next, whether a blanket ban is the answer. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is C.C. Chia, Vice President of the Malaysian Plastic Manufacturers Association, and Wong Pui Yi, researcher at the Centre to Combat Cronyism and Corruption, as well as author of the report, Malaysia is Not a Garbage Dump. So while we are attempting to get a handle on our legacy issues when it comes to the enforcement of existing regulations, is a blanket ban on the importation of plastic waste advisable? Cece, why don't we start with you? You don't really agree with the idea of a blanket ban, do you?
Oh, yeah, certainly I won't agree because the recycling sector in Malaysia is a supply chain to other sectors such as electronic and electrical, the automotive, the petrochemical, packaging sector. So without the materials coming from overseas, we will not have enough material to recycle and support their operations. Bear in mind that many of the brand owners, be it in the fast-moving consumer goods sector, like companies like Nestle, Coca-Cola, yeah, Danone, and in the E&E sector like Panasonic, Samsung, they also have their sustainability goals. They have, many of them have committed to use 25% recycled content in their, whether it's their packaging or their product, by year 2025. So Malaysia, our recycling sector, our recycling members are supporting many of this initiative. All right. So by starving the recycling sector with clean, recyclable plastics, we will not be able to be that a player to that key supply chain. That will also impede the competitiveness of the these sectors in Malaysia at large. Okay, without the economy and scale, the plastic recycling businesses will find it difficult to survive, and therefore there will not be you know, recyclers to recycle even the local scraps, which runs into several hundred thousand tons a year, all right? So a complete ban would be a huge mistake for Malaysia.
Pui, I know that a blanket ban was one of the key policy briefs put forward under the report that you authored. Talk to us a little bit more about that.
In terms of feasibility, now I would say a blanket ban is not possible. Among our recommendations would be a 0.5% contamination limit, with a long-term view towards a ban. Why? Because number one, it's very, very difficult to say who is contaminating 0.5, who is contaminating 5%. A ban would be able to allow enforcement officers to focus their efforts on a smaller area of monitoring. A recent World Bank report about our plastics value chain, they said there's a lack of local demand requirements for plastic, recycled plastics across all key regions in Malaysia. So that means the imported plastics are processed here and then exported elsewhere. What I feel is not clear to the public, because there's different voices all around, is how toxic the production and the transportation and the recycling of plastic and the disposal of plastic waste is. So if we are importing other people's waste and then we're processing it, no matter how clean the plastics are there impacts on our environment? Are there going to be impacts on our people? So in the end, I think it needs to boil down to whether ban or not. If you don't ban, what are you doing to make sure that it's safe for our people? If you don't ban, how much value is coming back to Malaysia and how much value is going out?
C.C., you have something to add.
Yeah, can I respond to that? With the Basel Convention, you know, only clean, homogeneous materials. We don't even call it waste. You know, These are used, it could be packaging, you know, used materials. So there's no pollution. To me, these materials are being processed in a certified factory, all right? A lot of manufacturing is done here in Asia and is being supplied globally. So whether it's electronic, TV, aircon, whether it's packaging material, whether it's, you know, chemical products and all this, a lot are produced in Asia, but the waste are generated everywhere in the world. So if there is a system to allow for movement of clean, recyclable materials to the place where the manufacturing takes place, what is wrong with that? If there's no recycling done in Malaysia, in Asia, we are not going to facilitate manufacturing in Asia. There will not be job creation. Recycling is part of it. I mean, the use of recycled content as part of circular economy, I'm sure Puyi, you support that circular economy, where we should be using more and more recycled content. In fact, the chemical sector now projects that future growth of resin production will be recycled resin. It's going to be replacing virgin resin production.
So I'm curious as to what the both of you think is the best way to, moving forward, foster an environment of shared responsibility and between the government, between industry, between the public, members of the public as well, in order to strive towards that circular economy goal.
First of all, the people's habits of littering has to stop. We should not be blaming recycling sectors but we ourselves are littering, right? So we should have a habit of segregating our waste at home so that, the recyclable waste can be collected for recycling. So the government has to implement segregation at source. We should implement EPR, extended producer responsibility, by pushing the responsibility of recycling the materials that is being produced by producers. I think in many countries, this system has proven to be very effective. The government should come up with regulatory framework to encourage private sector investment in the MRF facilities, such as MRF material recovery facility, where segregated recyclable material can be further sorted out to different materials to facilitate more efficient recycling. And then there has to be more WTE waste to energy plants so that we can recover a lot of the difficult to recycle materials like multi-layer materials. All right. And hopefully we can have chemical recycling here in Malaysia as well, where some of this difficult to recycle material can be converted back into food contact new material. That is what we hope for, and I think the total recycling sector can grow to 15 to 20 billion for Malaysia.
Puyi, what about you? What are your thoughts?
Okay, I have to strongly disagree with almost everything that Mr. Chia said, and it's a conversation that is taking place globally. Different policy standpoints, different cities have taken different models. Firstly, I agree that recycling is very, very important, not just plastics, but all materials, especially more and more car batteries. We really need to make better use of our materials, our precious materials that are mined from people's land, and recycling is a key component of this. Aside from recycling, I think there's a very urgent need to push for new, proper, new, better materials. Just taking the example of plastic alone, they're finding plastic in the Arctic, they're finding it in the Mariana Trench, they're finding it in placentas, they're finding it in human poop. There's also a very important concept called zero waste. It's not so much about us throwing rubbish, it's very, very much about producers being more responsible when they make products. Waste to energy incinerators, I'm not an expert in it, but for now, I'm very much against them because I've spoken to a plastic recycler also who is against it, because you might end up throwing recyclable plastic just just to feed the waste to energy incinerator. If you don't sort our waste properly, the waste that's being thrown in the incinerator is very wet, and in the end, you need to feed other fuels to go and get it burning. Chemical recycling, we know that everything that goes in must come out. What happens to the chemicals that go in? What happens to all the waste? We burn it, bury it, we compose it, we recycle it. I think we should proceed with caution. Our government has a lot of WTE projects in the works. I think Malaysians need to sit out and pay attention, especially if it's in your backyard. Thirdly, going back to what Mr. Chia said about the Basel Convention, no, I agree it's a new global model. I agree there's potential for clean movement of materials. It goes back to enforcement, integrity and trust, and being transparent that's important. And I think our single-use plastic roadmap is something that can be moved forward. But also, in the end, the single-use plastic roadmap is developed by the DOE, but then waste management is by JPSN. So how is this going to work?
Can I just address some of the things, the points that Puyi has mentioned? Mechanical recycling, which is the recycling that we are seeing in Malaysia, mechanical recycling, as proven in Japan, it can only be done to at most about 50% of the plastic waste being generated. So you cannot address some of the other materials that is being generated. So what you need to do is that you need to have waste to energy to complement mechanical recycling. Chemical recycling doesn't mean you recycle the chemical or you use chemical in that recycling. So chemical recycling means you process the material back to the fuel, the naphtha that they use to make plastics. Now in Japan, where is a good model for us to learn from, they recycle about 50% of the plastic materials are gone for mechanical recycling. And then another 40% goes to waste to energy and chemical recycling. Majority are waste to energy.
So again, there's an international argument and debate on the harms and benefits of WTE and chemical recycling. I encourage everyone to go and read about them. The important elephant in the room is this product is creating so much harm. Do we still want to continue making it and come with ways to deal with it that might cause more harm?
Well, unfortunately, you're using plastic product every single day, I can assure you. If you don't use plastic, then you have to replace with metal and paper. You know, in terms of carbon footprint, they are much higher than plastic.
We need to calculate exactly what it means you calculate it.
We have the numbers. You are invited to come to MPMA.
Okay. Clearly, this is certainly an ongoing conversation. We'll have to wait and see how the industry itself evolves with the times. But thank you so much to the both of you for joining me this morning. It's been certainly a very interesting conversation.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with CC Chia, Vice President of the Malaysian Plastic Manufacturers Association, and Wong Puyi, researcher at the Centre to Combat Cronyism and Corruption, as well as author of the report, Malaysia is Not a Garbage Dump. This has been The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.